Good evening, one and all. Yes, here we are, middle of another week, couple of days from December. I have done my Christmas cards to England, as I think I said yesterday, so I'm a little bit done, and I've put a couple of indoor decorations up and thought about what I'm buying people for Christmas. I thought about it. That's about as far as it's gone. Anyway, I am here, and so is my guest. Now, my guest, one of these things, if you know, when we get guests on the show, one of the things we always sort of, well, when the next one comes out, come back and chat to us again. Well, today is like one of those. It's great when you catch up on people and see how they've been getting on and everything. But the thing about today's guest is it's one of those ones that's not one person, it's two people. Yeah, two people, depending on whether you're talking about her fiction or her non-fiction stuff. Because under non-fiction, she uses her real name, Susan Shapiro Barash. But under the fiction stuff, which is what we're talking about today, she writes under Susanna Maren. So I'm going to call her Susan, but you really knew it, if in this case, in her books, it's Susanna. But Susan, how are you? It's great to finally have you. I know we've had a few issues along the way in the past, and even this one, it was sort of two or three times before we finally got through, but at least I'm here and you are here as well.
That's the point.
That's the important part. Now, you did initially a lot of non-fiction. I mean, I know you've appeared on lots of TV and radio and all that sort of stuff as well. What finally pushed you over to writing fiction?
Well, I had begun, Barry, as a fiction writer, and I earned my master's degree in fiction writing, but I'd always written, you know, for the school paper, and yeah. I'd always written nonfiction and articles, and my career really took off in terms of nonfiction. My first book was about female infidelity, then I wrote a book about sisters, I wrote a book about mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, female rivalry. I've done three different studies on the role of of the wife in America. And after my 13th nonfiction book, I really wanted to go back to fiction writing. And so I took all that I had learned about women, interviewing them, you know, for my nonfiction, a diverse group of women for each study, and I put it into dramatic fiction.
Wow. I mean, it's, as you say, you used what you've sort of written before, and you actually brought that into with your characters and your characters' experience, and a lot of the stuff, if I remember right, excuse me, sorry about that. Palm Beach was a big thing, wasn't it?
Right. So this is my third, Maribel Shadow, my new book, is the third in my Palm Beach novel series. And they're standalone books. You don't have to read them in order. But I had written A Palm Beach Wife and then A Palm Beach Scandal and then Maribel Shadow, which was originally called A Palm Beach Shadow.
Aha. That's what I found. I thought that. I thought, hang on, we've had two Palm Beach. Now we haven't got a Palm Beach. What's happened?
There? Right, except we do. Yeah, we changed the title to, and I actually really love this title because the story of Maribel is, if I say so myself, pretty compelling, but it definitely is a Palm Beach story. You know, the sisters, and there are three sisters, Maribel's the eldest, then her sister Caroline, and then her sister Raleigh. So the older two were in their late 30s and Raleigh's 29. And then they have this wild and ambitious mother named Lucinda, and it's all in Palm Beach.
Because that's what, you know, with your previous fiction and you, as you said, your nonfiction, it is about this, isn't it? Women truly feel, mothers, daughters, friends, rivals, lovers, relationships, and that sort of thing. And I think it's great that you've managed to bring that full circle from your nonfiction, and obviously expert now that you are, into your fiction into your fiction novels. Plus, of course, you're bringing in the Florida part, Palm Beach, and everything.
Right, because Palm Beach is really almost a character in these novels. And, you know, Palm Beach is a beautiful, rarefied, privileged place. And so I was very interested in how women navigate a path there. How do they really feel versus the faces they wear is as applicable in Palm Beach and as anywhere, except when there's enough money
right.
in a capitalistic society, we think that it will be easier. But it's not easier. These women have lots of secrets and agendas.
Do you have any, I mean, was it Between the Tides was the first one, I think, wasn't it?
That's not in Palm
Beach. That's not in Palm Beach, though, because, but you at least have water.
Right. There's water just in Palm Beach. There's the Atlantic Ocean and the Intracoastal. And in Between the Tides, there's the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
And it takes place actually in, and of course, it has the Hudson River and the East River because it takes place partly in New York and partly in a fictive town in New Jersey.
Because the first of the Palm Beach was a Palm Beach wife. Was that right? Was that your first Palm Beach one? Palm Beach wife?
No, Palm Beach wife was the first one.
Yeah. Because, you know, are any of the characters from that one or the next one was Palm Beach Scandal? Palm Beach Scandal. Are any of the characters in Maribel's Shadow that we've met before?
Yes. So while it's not, you know, it's interesting because I am now, I've been asked to write the sequel to Maribel's Shadow, and the other books
right.
are not sequels.
Right.
But you'll still see, you will see returning secondary characters, definitely.
Okay. That's great, because I know when you write books, some of these minor characters want major roles in your next book almost. You know, they sort of pester you and say, hey, come on, you've written enough about this person. Write about me now. You have no choice. The characters just do it. Do that.
Yeah, well, I like what you're saying. I mean, this book, Maribel's Shadow, a lot of people seem to like it best. I don't want to admit that because, you know, writers always love each book they write and feel they put so much into each book that they stand distinctively and in their own right. But the response to this one has been pretty amazing. And, you know, people, I've gotten lots of, like, you know, feedback.
Right.
And so when I was asked to do the sequel, I felt like I really had, first of all, there are the three sisters, these adult sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of storyline. And also, I felt like it could keep going, which made me really happy.
Right. And I know a lot of people sort of say, you know, it's even more relevant in this day and age than perhaps when the other ones come out.
I'm sorry, say again.
The subject, you know, of the glitzy, if you like, world of Palm Beach and the loyalty and love and everything, it's even more relevant these days. It's, you know, this is how people see it and how it is, and perhaps that could be one of the reasons that, you know, people are enjoying this one even more so.
Well, I hope that's the case. You know, the thing about these characters is that they each, I know this sounds ridiculous when we think of, you know, as I said, a privileged place, Palm Beach is, but each of these characters is trying to survive. You know, within the first 12 pages of the novel, no spoiler, this is just the inciting incident, Maribel's very handsome, very successful young husband, Samuel, dies.
Wow.
And once he dies, everything gets revealed and everything unravels.
The box is open.
Because,
right.
Right, because we have to say, who was Samuel really? And who was Maribel to be married to him? And why does each sister have such a lie to keep telling? And, you know, and who are we in a time of great loss or great happiness for that matter? But
this is
really a story that's part suspense, part mystery.
There must be when it, something happens like that and, you know, secrets that have been hidden perhaps come to the surface, it must put a pressure on things like family loyalty. Do you go into that?
Yes. Yeah. It's very much about family loyalty. It's about who stands behind whom. And what about the mother? You know, I did write a book about mothers and daughters, a nonfiction book, a study called You're Grounded Forever, But First Let's Go Shopping, where I interviewed women who had daughters, you know, 3 years old till over 30 years old. And often a mother would say, also in a study I did on sisters called Sisters Devoted or Divided, they said that they really often identified the mother with one of her daughters more than the other.
Yes.
Or had a favorite or saw herself reflected in one daughter and not the other daughters. And so Lucinda, the mother, who's a pretty important character in this novel, really plays one daughter against the other once Samuel dies and everything is put to the test.
Right. I know. I mean, I've got two younger sisters, and, you know, they're definitely, you know, there was one perhaps my father preferred to the other one. Not in a nasty way, but, you know, golden child sort of thing. And it is, you know, people always say, you know, this one's this, you know, middle child tends to be forgotten and everything like that. But it does happen, and it is part of family. I mean, it's a human trait. As it happens sort of thing.
Favoritism is really tricky.
Yeah.
And it's great to be the favorite, and it's really painful to not be. And also, you know, as this story unfolds and we realize what each sister knows and what she's done, then we realize how Lucinda identifies more with one. Again, I don't want to give away the story,
right.
But, you know, she's really rooting for one daughter more than the other. And, of course, there are lots of surprises and twists and turns in this book, but definitely the mother-daughter-sister relationship is, you know, it's really what propels the story.
I mean, there is it is a mystery. But also, apart from the sort of, obviously, the comparisons of the lives and the secrets and everything like that, is there sort of, quite often you have sort of like a business thing? Is there like a business thing in the back of this as well?
Yes, because there's a family business.
Right.
And Samuel worked for, he had a big job at the family business, and Lucinda cares very much about this business. By the way, it's a very matriarchal family.
Uh-huh.
Lucinda, the father died, Reed died, and Lucinda is remarried because that's what people seem to do in Palm Beach. Husbands are arm candy. But, you know, what's really important is her power. It's a lot about women's power and how they garner it and what they do. What do we do as women in a patriarchal culture to get to where we are?
Right, because I know one of the things you, when you were doing your nonfiction stuff, you had something, was it the 9 phases of marriage or something like that? Didn't you write on
Yes,
that?
Yes, right.
So what, how does that, do you use that as a sort of like a template on some of these?
Well, I certainly look at, you know, the role of wife in this novel. So Maribel's widowed, you know, she's a young widow in her late 30s. And her sisters are married. Mm-hmm. Caroline, the middle sister, is married and has 2 little girls. And she's a perfect Palm Beach wife. She is, you know, married to a man who works for the family company as well. And she is very invested in appearances and acceptance in the social world. But Raleigh, the youngest sister, who has a little boy, Caleb, he's just a toddler, she's married to an artist, and she herself is an artist. So they're a little bit like off the, you know, track for this family. And the mother, you know, only wants her daughters to be popular and invited and accepted.
Because, you know, one of the things, obviously, is in not just Palm Beach, but in sort of places, that sort of thing, you know, is gossip, how gossip spreads. And especially if there's a bit of a death, you know, involved with it, that nothing travels faster than that. Is that, does that sort of come out, how word gets around?
Oh, yeah. And Lucinda is very concerned that since she worked so hard for this family to be accepted, that now they could have a they could have a problem that, you know, people will judge them. And everyone was always whispering about the family. How'd they get here? How did they make their money? Who are they really? And you know, she's worked very hard to be accepted. It really matters to her. But it's not just in Palm Beach, although, as you know, I deliberately chose Palm Beach. But for women, acceptance anywhere, based on my research, like I wrote a book on female rivalry and a book called Tripping the Prom Queen.
Right.
And I did a study on female friendships called Toxic Friends. And in those two studies / books, I listened to a very disparate group of women talking about how important it is to belong. And Lucinda is very worried that they'll lose their foothold now that Samuel has died and, you know, he did what he did, but I can't tell you what he did.
Right. The way you've written this book is you've sort of alternate chapters between, you know, the main character and her sisters. Is that something you wanted to try and do?
The book is told through three different voices,
right.
Caroline, Raleigh's, and Maribel.
Right.
And I had wanted to do that. I mean, I really deliberately talked to my writing group and my editor and my agent about how to write this book. And I am glad that I chose that as narration.
Did you do it, okay, today I'm going to write this one, and then the next chapter I'm going to write that one? Or did you do all the first one first, or, you know, do like two or three chapters of Maribel, say, and then you did the next sister? Or did you literally do it 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3?
I worked from an outline.
Ah, okay. So you had
I wanted it to be alternating stories and alternating chapters. But the outline was very important to me because I come from the nonfiction world. Is, you know, when you write a book proposal for a nonfiction book,
right,
you always have an outline. So I wanted to follow that template. I just think, for me, I know some writers.
Oh, right.
I'm sure you
I could never do it. I'd be wanting to know what the other character was going to do. Never mind about you two.
Well, you see, that's funny because there are writers who say, oh, the character just walked off the page, just walked on the page.
Oh, yeah.
Character just told me what to write.
Exactly. Totally believe in that. Characters lead you. You know, that's
interesting. And I believe having written all the nonfiction,
right.
Where I say, wow, let me do a study on the role of wife in America.
Right.
Like my book, The New Wife, The Evolving Role of the American Wife. Let me do a study. And I interview hundreds of women and usually do a questionnaire for my nonfiction. And I have a hunch that women hold the bar very high as wives.
Right.
That women are often disappointed. They expect so much from their husbands. That women who divorce will remarry. And that's part of the fabric of marriage in America, of being a wife in America.
Right.
I have a hunch. But I need to do the research and I need to interview the women. And I need to come to my warrants and then my conclusion in a very linear, concrete way.
Right.
When I write a novel, I say to myself, and I always know the very beginning of the book and the very end of the book.
Uh-huh.
But what I say to myself is, gee, what would Maribel do now that this has happened? And then I get to make it up.
Right.
It's just not. It's not like nonfiction where everything is completely reported,
laid down,
and researched.
It's funny because I know I've had some like detective type with female. Actually, most of them with female heroes in it. They just put their hero in a position in one chapter. That's it. You're this position, and then say to them, right, now get out of that. see how they're going to get out of it. And as you said, that's the difference between the fiction and the non-fiction writing. I mean, on the non-fiction, it's there in black and white. You know, you've got it. You've got what happens. You've got what this is. You've done the research and everything like that. And, you know, it's like reporting, you know, on a survey almost. Whereas when you get to the fiction, you just say, okay, right, this is where you are. How are you going to get out?
Yeah, fiction is so different for me. I mean, here I am sitting with just, you know, my thoughts. Mm. Whereas when I write nonfiction, I have treatises and serious studies to look at.
Books all over the place, I can imagine.
Yeah, so it's very different. Yeah.
Mirabelle's Shadow, you got another one coming up?
I do. That's going to be the sequel. I'm writing it now.
Aha. And are we going to bring back Palm Beach, or are we going to keep, you still haven't got your mind made up about the title?
Oh, no. Barry, it's going to be in Palm Beach. Yeah, but it's going to be really spicy and suspenseful.
Oh my goodness. Well, going by some of the reviews and everything, that much of though the sort of there's the intrigue and the deep depths into sort of relationships from family stuff and stuff like that, you always manage to weave a real good web of intrigue into it, which is, I think it's wonderful the way you manage to do that.
Well, thank you.
The covers of your books, this is because it's not. It's like it's changed this time compared to some of the other covers. It's actually a picture of somebody on a pier, isn't it, or something like that, if I remember right what I was looking at.
Yes, I would hope that it's Maribel.
Yeah, that's
And
Maribel. Yeah, whereas before it was like a
right.
whisper, it's like close-ups and that. This is, and it's one of these covers that you sort of see, and you think, hang on, is she going to jump off? Is she waiting for somebody to come to the end of the pier? Is she just talking to the sea? Is there a storm coming, looking at the clouds overhead? It's one of these covers that you look at and think, what's it going to be? This could be anything, sort of thing. And yet your mind immediately starts working, as what this could be, which I think is great. The fact with just the sort of the blue, the basic blues sort of thing like that. I really think it's a very eye-catching cover. I really do.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you said that. That means a lot to me because, this is really something we thought about. Would we keep the jacket with the same in the same
Yeah.
sort of beach reedy look? Very
Yeah.
pretty, but much lighter
Yeah.
than
Yeah.
Palm Beach Wife and a Palm Beach Scandal. But in truth, those books are more layered and more dramatic than perhaps the cover, depicts it
Yeah.
as. So we thought that we would make this a little bit more mysterious.
And I think it is, as I say, it's one of these covers. You look at it and you could see it could be, the book could be about six or seven different things, just by looking at the cover. And it's intriguing when you see the title, Mirabelle's Shadow, and then you see that cover. You think, this could be something really interesting in this, and it makes people even want to pick it up and perhaps have a flick through it and look at the description and stuff like that, because it is that sort of inviting cover. I think you've done really well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was very pleased with this. It's a much more kind of mood
Yes.
and curious, and piques your interest
Right, indeed.
type
Well,
of cover.
you have kept our interest on the show really good, and I've really enjoyed chatting to you, but time's starting to run out. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and your books.
Oh, thank you. That would be great.
Okay.
So I love to hear from readers, and by the way, love to speak for women's groups at book clubs, virtual or in person. I'll be doing a big tour in Florida. I toured in the summer when it first came out, and again all fall, and I'll be in Florida this in the new year to be promoting for the month of February.
Great.
So anyone who wants to get in touch can reach me at susannamarin.com, SusannamarinHMarren.com, or SusanShapiroBarish.com. It'll get you to the same place.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for being a guest on the
Thank you
show.
for
Really
having
enjoyed
me.
it. Thank you. And good luck with the
Thank
next
you.
book.
Thank you so much, Barry.
Well, how about that? As I said, two different people. But you can find her under whichever one you go to. Susanna Maren, SusannahMarren, or Susan Shapiro Beresh, Susan Shapiro, as in Helen Shapiro, Shapiro. That's one for the older people. And Barash, Barash. And we've been talking to Susan about her new book, or written under Susanna, shall I say, Maribel's Shadow. Looks really good, really intrigue, very lots of characters, lots of things to make you think as well. Well, that's it. I will be back on Sunday, 5 to 6, with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And it is the first one. I don't start till December. It is the first one of Christmas stuff, Christmas songs. And it's a lot of English stuff that you don't know about in America. There's always a lot of Christmas singles out in England. And there's a lot of perhaps you've never heard of. But it's all good fun. Anyway, that's from 5 to 6. And the 6 to 7, of course, we get the Swinging 60s. Music from the 60s for you to listen to and enjoy. And then next week, I think I'll be back. A couple of old recordings, I think it's the next couple of weeks, because I got to get myself ready for Christmas as well. Until then, I've got one thing left to say. Don't forget...